We can really be friends, but when it comes to a couple of things, it separates our friendship. Religion is one of them, mm-hmm. and most recently, politics. Mm-hmm. In the studio with us right now, Dr. Suzanne Deggs-White, a professor from Northern Illinois University, NIU. You're also, what are you a professor of?
I'm a professor of counseling. Counselor education, and so my special areas of research are the human relationship in its many forms.
Have you ever seen anything like what we're experiencing now, in that the country is so divided politically, and there used to be a time where if you had differences with somebody politically, you could discuss them. Those days is gone.
Those days are gone. Indeed, they are. No, there's never been such a divisive election, because I think today with social media, the diversity of people that get involved, the people that have a voice that once did not have that voice, the minority are able to be more vocal. And so the things we've always wanted to talk about but didn't have a place, now there's a public platform that allows us all to kind of jump on there and push each other around on the stage.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a good thing that we have a voice. I mean, being in radio, we were lucky because we had a voice. We have the microphone right in front of us.
Right.
Most people didn't. So I kind of like the fact that Facebook gives people an opportunity to voice their opinion, but it gets so mean and ugly. It's you don't mind your manners a lot of the time.
No. Yeah, Facebook and all the social media that are out there allow anonymity. You know, we're a voice. We're this image we present, but we don't have to show up and be that person that's projecting all this hate or this vitriol online. So we can hide behind the anonymity of social media platforms.
How much of it, Suzanne, do you think the fact is that if you watch the candidates, anytime they're in a room together, they're not being very kind to each other.
Right.
So the supporters are like, well, if they're not being nice to each other, why should we be nice to each other?
You know, this speaks to a larger problem. I think civility is really disappearing in our country. I think there's a sense that I've been quiet too long. I want to have my say. Mm. And when we get wrapped up in our own beliefs, we forget about the damage we may be doing to other people's feelings, to other people's belief systems, or as models for young kids, as was mentioned at the recent debate.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what happened to the saying, you know, walk in someone else's shoes.
Right.
I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact quote.
Yeah. Tom McCann said that, remember?
Yeah.
The great Tom McCann.
But I mean, you really, in order to have a conversation where you're not screaming at someone, you have to sit there and listen to their point of view and go,
right.
Okay, well, maybe Obamacare is terrible for you, mm-hmm. but it's good for me. Here's why. And you have
right.
a discussion. You have to put yourself in someone else's shoes.
You do. You have to empathize with someone else's perspective. And I think what happens with politics, we get wrapped up in our candidate is right on all things, that we forget that not anyone in this world is right on all things. And we wrap ourselves up in what they're selling. And that's where we get in trouble, because we're buying something we don't even know what it is, because we like this candidate. We don't think, we feel.
But it turns into like your favorite team is going to win. And, you know, Hillary's a liar. That's what we hear.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump doesn't like women, but Hillary's a liar. I mean, they're both
right.
liars.
They both are liars. They both are liars. And they both have done things that neither one is probably proud of, and things that the American public rejects as what leaders should do. But the fact is that there's talking to our emotions, and we kind of lose sight of what the reasons are that we like this person, because we identify. And it is like, you know, kind of sports, the athletics piece. You know, if I'm a rabid Cleveland fan, I don't want to hear anything about your dear little Cubs. They are not lovable losers. They're losers. Whereas if I'm a Cubs fan, you know, this is our time. We've waited till next year, and we don't care about the stats or the RBIs or the errors. We care about, this is my team out there on the mound.
Right.
All right. So how can we fix this? How can we have a discussion with
yeah.
someone who does not see eye to eye with you
yeah.
and still communicate and remain friends on Facebook?
Well, you know, that's the thing, the Facebook thing. One thing we have to do with people, we can ignore what they're saying. You know, we have to recognize this friendship is more valuable to me than being right. And that's hard for most of us to do. When it comes to most friendships, we're much more patient with differences of opinion than we are with our spouses or with our kids or with our mothers or our mothers-in-law. But with friends, usually we give them room to kind of, you know, we kind of laugh at their foibles, laugh at their weak spots along with them. But when it comes to politics, what we see is so offensive to us and our beliefs when they don't believe what we believe. We've got to step away from that and think, is this worth risking a friendship by bashing this candidate who they feel so strongly about? That's one thing, you kind of step back and say, is a friendship worth this?
Bill and I were talking about this off the air, and there are people that might be related to me and might not be, who I know we see completely differently, so I don't even bring it up. Right, I don't even want to go there.
No. And that's a good thing to do. You know, if you can't maintain your own sense of level-headedness and you can't accept someone has a different opinion, don't go there. Why walk into a problem if you can avoid it?
Should that be verbalized? Should you make an agreement with friends or family? Hey, we're going out to dinner Saturday night. How about this? No discussion of politics. Do you say that right out loud?
Lot of things, you know, there are a lot of things. I'm working on a book about sibling relationships, and we talk about the taboo four, you know, politics, religion, sex, and money. We just don't talk about these things in polite company. And sometimes we have to say, hey, you know, this no politic discussion. Let's have a fun time. Let's put that to the side. I think a lot of us believe we have more power in the outcome of an election than we really do. And so kind of turning off that need to prove a point is something hard for some of us to do. We want to be involved in these conversations, but making ground rules is sometimes the very best thing you can do.
You know what's interesting about what you call the taboo four? Go through them again. It's sex, it's politics, it's religion, and it's money.
Right.
Those are four topics that you could discuss all night long if you want to, and you almost can never change anyone's mind about any of those four.
You cannot change their mind. And if you think about what politicians are, what their platforms are, it's about those four topics. It's about money and income. It's about politics. It's about religion. Who is okay to have in the country, who is not. And it's about sex. Who can do what where?
Yeah.
And you can't change minds. You can't convince me not to be a Cubs fan because you tell me that they have more, you know, they've lost more games than any other team. We think with our hearts when it comes to our belief systems, and getting someone to change their feelings, you have to appeal to their emotions to change their mind.
Yep.
Because these things are deeper than just, oh, this is a logical conclusion. So you're correct. Absolutely correct.
There are a lot of taglines that I'm hearing lately, like to your point. I hear that all the time. People say that to your point, Bill. Yeah. But there's one that has gone away. We'll have to agree to disagree.
Right.
What happened to that?
What happened to it? You know, that's an important thing. We must agree to disagree. It's as if agreeing to disagree, you're a loser now. And I think that our world is so hung up on winners and losers that we can't accept. You know, there was a tie on Monday Night Football, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I'm going, wow, they still let people have ties. This is amazing, because I thought we had to do something so there had to be a winner, because this whole culture is about having a winner and a loser. And for some people, compromising is losing. I counseled a couple once, and I said, can you work together for a compromise? And the guy said, yeah, that would be kind of a win-win. And his wife said, no, it would not. It would be a lose-lose. We'd both lose something if we compromise. And as a counselor, I really was kind of speechless. I had to really sit and think about that and digest what she had said, because her perspective was, if I don't get my way, I'm a loser.
But doesn't that show that that's a couple that probably shouldn't be together?
Yes.
If they're looking at the same thing that differently?
That differently. And and that's kind of a basic human belief that, you know, compromise is most of us are raised, compromise is a good thing.
Yeah.
But if I'm looking at you getting any part of your way, well, you know, then I'm a loser.
Hmm.
And that relationship is not going to survive or thrive. And they weren't. They were in divorce. It turned into divorce counseling.
Sure, of course.
Because they both refused. Well, he was working hard. She refused. She dug her heels in. She was going to vote for that candidate, metaphorically speaking, and, you know, she wanted to be the victor.
We all compromise every day. Every day, if you decide to let someone in when you're merging.
Right.
I mean, we all, it doesn't mean you're a loser. It means you're a nice person.
And
hey, go ahead.
And nice people are no longer, it's not valued. And I think if we look at the candidates right now and we look at the debates and the things that are being said are comments that never should be on a public stage.
Right. Neither are being nice.
Yeah, there's not niceness. And there's insults. I mean, the from the crooked, the lying, the nasty one. I mean, all these comments that we hear that before, if a child said that about someone, his mom would have, you know, done something really quickly and said, don't talk that way.
Right.
So I think that it's about civility and recognizing, I think we need to go back to the value of friendship and relationship, which is something that seems to have suffered in the past. As social media has taken off, social skills have decreased. I think there's a direct inverse proportion.
Before we take a quick break, I just want to read this text, which explains it all. Listen to this. It's always been the rule not to discuss religion and politics. This is not new. The problem is most people are degenerate morons nowadays and can no longer have a normal conversation without turning nasty. Social media is dragging us down quickly. Stay off of it. But right there in that comment,
yes,
that's it. Because
that's
someone
it.
Thinks differently, you're a degenerative moron.
Right. That's it. That's what happens. You cannot tolerate. You know, I'm a wonderful, accepting person. I'm very tolerant of others as long as they don't disagree with my beliefs. You know, I'm not tolerant of the intolerant. it limits there.
That's Dr. Suzanne Deggs-White. Again, we're talking about 7 ways to talk politics without losing a friend. If you'd like to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We are chatting with Dr. Suzanne Deggs-White, professor and chair, Department of Counseling, Adult and Higher Education at Northern Illinois University. And we talked to you a couple months ago about toxic friendship.
Yes.
I guess this could also apply if you're trying to find ways to talk politics without losing a friend. Bottom line is... you're not going to change anyone's mind, but you can still have a discussion, can't you?
Right. You cannot change someone's mind unless they're really willing to sit and listen to you, or else they really want to be good friends with you and want to get on your train. A lot of times, politicians appeal to our hearts and not our heads, and they share their dreams and make them believe that they are also our dreams. And I think that's, we get caught up in someone else's dream, and it's hard for us to get off that train unless either, one, there's a really strong, convincing reason, like the election results are in, or to a friend is really helping us to feel the passion they feel for the other candidate.
All right, let's go to exactly what you just said. In 2 weeks, we're going to know who won this election.
Absolutely.
So, of course, when your candidate wins, you don't want to gloat, but how do you mend any fences once there's been some damage?
You know, it's interesting. Can you accept the results of this election if your candidate loses, you personally? And, you know, friends sometimes have a hard time, and you kind of got to understand what happened when the Cubs lost the last playoff game in the past years. You know, you feel really bad. So good friends are going to understand and empathize what it's like to be on the losing team. And they're going to give you some time to heal. And if it's a family member, you kind of, you know, do what you can to rouse them up. And then you just move forward because, you know, the election's going to come. We think there's going to be change. There's not going to be a world of difference. And life is going to go on.
Right.
And so, you know, acknowledging that your friend is probably ticked off, upset, heartbroken, whatever it may be. And just, you know, letting them be where they're at and not trying to, you know, boost them up when they really are upset.
847 has said, you are entitled to your opinion even if it's wrong. But who's to say it's wrong? See, I have a problem when you're talking to someone. I don't care who's right or wrong. If we have a problem, I just want the problem solved.
Yeah.
Is it important to always be right?
No, it's not important to always be right. We can't always be right in life. There are times where we think we're in the right, but we may be totally in left field. And there are times when we want to tell our friends what's right or wrong. And we have to, and it's that part of the empathy and understanding. We all have different life experiences. Those all come together in every heated, exciting argument or every heated battle or competition. And winners and losers, it's not about right or wrong. It's about being in that moment and recognizing you can't control outcomes.
But Suzanne, don't you think for a lot of us, if we think we know somebody well, a family member or a friend, and you go, how can we agree on 95% of the stuff in the universe, but when it comes down to politics, we're so diametrically opposed?
Right.
That's troublesome to us.
Well, it's also exciting, isn't it? To think, what are the mysteries of this person? What is their view? What is their perspective? Wow, how do you know, kind of like scratch your head. How do I make sense of someone from such a different place and their views?
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you say, well, you know, that's who they are. We put up with a lot in friends, and different political beliefs, I think, have to be one of them because we're not going to change them. And, you know, I know you're right, Wendy. Bill, I know you're right in your beliefs. I would never doubt that because for you, they are the right beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
For me, maybe not so much. Don't know what the belief is. Don't know. But recognizing that everyone is a product of their life experience, being okay with people not always being on the same page. And if you're able to agree to disagree and just enjoy each other's company, forget the politics, the religion, the sex, all the other parts, and really focus on, you know, what brings you together as friends.
Right.
And it also comes down to, if you can state to me, here's why I like this candidate. This person's policy is going to help me in this way.
Right.
This reason is going to help me. So that's my story on this.
Right.
So agree to disagree.
Yeah, agree
It talk about the actual issues on how it's going to change your life for that candidate, not she's a liar, he's
right.
A toad.
He's whatever he may be. Yeah. You have to stick to the issues, really. And you have to have logical, emotionless, but you have to have discussions that the emotions come from excitement about what the facts are and not what you imagine. It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, where, you know, that we really believe there was a Wizard of Oz, but there was nothing but, you know, an old inventor behind a curtain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what politicians are. They have the spin, they have this image. But if you want to keep your friendships and have discussions about issues, that's exciting. I mean, we should have public discourse. We should have have civil public discourse and talk about what's going on in the world that affects us, but we shouldn't use that as an excuse to bash a friend, because when you bash a friend or bash a friend's candidates, you're bashing your friend's heart.
Yeah,
that's true.
You got to be aware, because yeah, we respond on an emotional level. If you read vitriol from someone on Facebook, you feel it. You know, these things don't happen just in our head. So, you know, talk to me about issues. Talk to me about making the world a better place. But don't tell me, you know, why you think this person is going to be the answer to everything.
Her name is Dr. Suzanne Deggs White. You can find her teaching, as she's a professor in Department of Counseling at Northern Illinois University in good old DeKalb, Illinois. You have a book that's going to be coming out soon about sibling rivalry.
Yes. Uh-huh. Adult sibling relationships, how to navigate difficult conversations.
Check out her blog. Where do we find that?
On psychologytoday.com.
And will you come back and see us when that book comes out about sibling relationships?
Thank you very much. That'd be a delight.
Bring one for me, but not for my brother, okay?
But not for you.
Thanks, Suzanne.
Oh, thank you for having me this morning.
A quick break. Came with the news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.